Good morning.
Good morning.
Be reading from John 14 to 15 and then to 21. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he resides with you, and he will be in you. I will not abandon you like orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will not see me any longer. But you will see me because I live. You will live too. You will know at that time that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commandments and obeys them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me and will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. This is the word of God.
Here we're overhearing the last conversation that Jesus had with the disciples. He's told them that he must leave. He's told them several times before this that he's going to have to go away. But here he says he's also preparing for them to join him. The disciples didn't understand, of course. They could guess, but they didn't really understand. Yet what they could understand was that things were getting very, very tense in Jerusalem. There were many people on both sides, not just Jesus' side, not just against him, but both sides. And they realized that God's plans were starting to come together. They just didn't understand how or why. They didn't know that it was going to be in the next few hours and days. Now, I don't think that there's anyone that doubts that Jesus chose the Passover meal purposefully to have the Last Supper. When people would look back, they would be able to understand much more of why he had come to earth. After Sunday, they would really understand. His choosing the high holy day, when freedom and trust in God were the two that came together for the Israelites the most, ensured that his followers would recall, at least every time that they had the Passover meal, right, what had happened that night. We remember every time we get to Easter, our holy week, right? A high holy time, and Easter Sunday. Now, the Passover meal would also do other things. It would be a true bonding time, a recognition of the past and everything they'd been through in the last 3 years together, a sharing of sorts for the future, even if they didn't understand, a time of loving one another and seeing the value that each one brought to the table. It had to have been an emotional time for all of them, I think. But did you notice Jesus kept doing what Jesus did, teaching all the way through? If you read earlier on here in John, you know that Jesus has just washed the feet of the disciples. He's made them feel uncomfortable, actually. Why? Because uncomfortable means you'll remember it, won't you? Have you gotten up in front of people like this and preached or spoken, done a trial, whatever? You're not really comfortable. I don't care how many years you've been doing it, right? And you remember pretty well what that uncomfort is. Well, he made them feel uncomfortable as he washed their feet so that they would remember that even the Messiah himself was a servant leader, was serving them humbly and doing one of the dirtiest jobs that was around at that point. Yes, he had to teach them about God and the kingdom, but he also had to make sure that they realized that they were to serve God's lost and hurting and oppressed people. He had come all the way to save the people from certain sin and death, but also to show us that there was hope for the least and the lost. I think that's the ending statement. If he had a microphone, he might have dropped it. John tells us in terms of love and truth that Jesus came from God and that God is in Jesus as Jesus is in God. Jesus tells them that they too will be in him and him in them. And you know, in some ways I think we should understand that statement. It kind of sounds strange at first, but if you think about it, who have you loved the most in your life, adored, gotten trained by, and somewhat had you formed as a person, right? They may be gone today, but they're really not gone from you, are they? No. They're in our hearts. Just because I can't see or touch or kiss my grandmother does not mean that she is not with me. And Jesus had this with the disciples. He's wanting it with you and I. We can understand it. But you see, it was even more profound with Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't just making a memory with them. He wasn't just trying to touch their heart and make it warm and fuzzy. Jesus wanted them to see at that Passover table that night that an advocate, he says. In most translations, it's an advocate. And that word is specific in this case. It's not just a friend. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. An advocate, it's somebody like in law that fights for you. That's your friend. He was giving them a gift that would stay with them forever if they accepted it, if they asked for it. What a gift. The advocate, the truth, the spirit of truth, or today lots of times you hear it called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter the name. The spirit. It's not just an unidentified thing that makes us feel warm and glowy. It's not like when I drink coffee in the morning and I go, thank you, God, right? The Holy Spirit is something else. The Spirit is not just perceived. It's a reality. As much today as it was then, in receiving Jesus, the Spirit is that friend, the advocate, an advocate to take up for Jesus in Jesus' spot. And who is Jesus? The incarnate God. You might be able to see now here how we talk about a Trinity, all the entities of God in one. As he ascended, Jesus told them the Spirit would come and lead them, fight for them, be an active presence in their life, in a communal text and context, as much as a single individual context. You know, we talk very individually most of the time. That's an American thing, is it not? We talk individually. But Jesus was talking to all of them, and not just individually so, but as a group, that if they stayed with the commandments, if they loved like he had loved, that the Holy Spirit would be in here. And remember, the us, that the Lord will be among us, that we say, well, that us isn't just individual either. Jesus wants us to have our groups, whatever they may be, our communities, our nation, our world, to all have a relationship with him. And invite the Spirit in. Jesus' promise is communal and individual. It's a both and. It's a both and gift. To advocate, as Jesus would advocate, by our own voices from within, is to say why the Spirit is in us. When we pay attention, we speak as the Spirit would have us speak. Have you noticed that too? I know a lot of pastors used to say a rote prayer before they started preaching that would say, give me the words and be them the words of you, God. It isn't a bad thing to do. I think we've just gotten out of the habit of doing it. I say it usually in my car as I get out of the car and I come in the office here or the room. Jesus will speak through us when we have him in us. And you know what? We will act as he would act. If he is in us, if he is with us. At the time we take communion, or we go to God in prayer, or simply hold out our hands in singing. Did you hold your hands out at one point when we were singing these first songs? That is the asking of the Holy Spirit to be in us. You don't even need words for it. Your motions can do that. But I wonder, did you ever notice what Jesus said to the disciples when he was telling them about the advocate? He told them that if they loved him, they would keep his commandments. Now, Jesus never came here to say, do away with the Ten Commandments from Moses, or do away with any of the commandments the Hebrew people got through the prophets. No. But his words and actions plainly showed that the people had ignored the rules at times, misunderstood them, mistakenly applied them. So he was specific when asked about laws and commandments. Jesus was especially precise about which commandments were most important. To love God with all our heart and mind and soul was the first. And about the second commandment, which he said was almost as important as the first, and not to be forgotten, why? Because they go hand in hand. We're to love one another as ourselves. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, Jesus is said to have told the people to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. This encompasses all the law and prophets. They go hand in hand in God's eyes. And truthfully, they can't be done if you don't do them together. It's impossible to love God and not love the rest of God's children, our neighbors, as God loves us. That includes loving ourselves, which is sometimes hard, but it includes loving your enemies too, which is even harder. In one writer's words that I was reading this week, he said that if God is love, and First John says twice in the Bible, God is love. Nothing else. That's the statement. God is love. And this writer said, if God is love, we must note that love enlarges to encompass knowing and abiding, healing, naming, comforting, feeding, giving, discovering, touching, praising and justifying, and going forth. Love encompasses these other actions and feelings that God demonstrates daily to us as God loves us and is love. And because such love expands, said the author, it is fitting that Jesus addresses the present in terms of the future. That's really important. He abides in the disciples now and the coming of the Advocate. He will abide once more. This is a witness to God's will that none are less valued. None should be lost from his arms and his embrace. His love, his truth, his grace are for all people. Today, sometimes we forget that everyone is of equal value to God. There are parts of society that segregate, divide, make some feel superior to others, and do not attempt to see that all must be treated with love. They miss the Christ-driven boat. And there are as much Pharisees and the brood of vipers, as Jesus called them, as others. We need to remember, for our own sake, because we're always trying to take the Bible and see what does it apply to today, right? What does it mean for me? Not just in the past and learn a story. We must remember that religious leaders then felt that they were better Jews than other Jewish people. They felt they knew more and that they were loved by more by God because they were strict with the religious laws and they made others toe the line. The problem was that they kept creating more and more lines in the sand, and they were not God's lines, they were man's lines. They were wrong, said Jesus. It is only those that love and serve one another, all others, that will be seen as living out the commandments, and thereby, said Jesus, will be able to have the Advocate seen through them. And friends, this isn't to be taken lightly. We should be remembering this and praying about it and attempting to live into it every single day. Amen? Amen. The kingdom of heaven is not just there with God up in some sky, wherever that is that you imagine. The kingdom is supposed to be built right here, and we have the opportunity to do that. Every generation does if we can live into having the Holy Spirit in us so that the Holy Spirit comes out of us. Amen? True Christians want the Advocate, the Lord, our God, to be seen through them and for people to themselves believe that the Lord lives in them. Amen? I'm not saying it's an easy job, but it is our job. When I read the scriptures telling about Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples, I wonder if they immediately realized how much Jesus loved them. Sometimes I have to go back to every Easter to remember how much Jesus loved us, how much God loves us. You too? The Passover, Easter. Before we go this morning, I want you to hear this passage a different way. It's a paraphrased way. It's not a translation word for word. It's a paraphrasing by Eugene Peterson in the book he called The Message. And I want you to hear it because Eugene Peterson wanted you to hear common words of today so that you might understand them better, but also I find that it brings out the emotions that Jesus probably wanted from us. Hear John 14 again. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. Woo! Nothing complicated in that one, right? I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. How many people are feeling lonely today that need that? This friend is the Spirit of truth. Truth, not just spirit even, truth. I think there's a reason there, the wording. The godless world cannot take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he is staying with you. He's staying with you and will even be in you. How powerful is that? I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I'm in the Father and you're in me and I'm in you. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them. Bing, bing, bing. I hear like a game show host thing. Bing, bing, right? The person that knows my commandments and keeps them. That's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that's fairly godless in many ways. Even those of us who claim God and try to live into what we believe God wants, no matter the religion or denomination, because remember, last week we shared that only 7 to 8% of the world doesn't believe there is a higher power of some sort. Only 7 to 8%. So the rest of that 92% of us that forms the rest of us, we fall from God and God's ways so often. We find living into God's ways and God's will is hard to do and even seems counterintuitive to our natural human character and norms for society. But remember, if there's one sentence that my Sunday school teachers kept saying to me, it was that Jesus was countercultural. Jesus was countercultural. What seemingly cannot be ignored today is that even we Christians who see things similarly and claim to know God allow ourselves to easily get usurped into the world's standards. We forget God's ways as demonstrated by Jesus. We let our egos take over, if you ask me. And then it's very easy with our egos to say they're different. We're separated. We're better. Who does that sound like? We're more godly. Who does that sound like? We become bureaucratic, arrogant, and authoritarian. Much of the time, we are anything but servant leaders. And what was the last thing that Jesus did as a servant leader? He washed their feet. In a few minutes, our church will have a very, very important moment in history, a moment to show we love others and will love all those who are lost, lonely, oppressed, or even just made bad choices in life. And if you can't put your hand up that you haven't made a bad choice in life, I don't think you're very truthful, right? That's all of us. It's a vote for all of us. And no matter what the outcome is, and I say that, I pray that when we come to our vote, we do it with love in our hearts and that we have truly prayed and listened for God, for where God is leading us. I pray that the world will be able to look at Christ's church favorably because it sees the Holy Spirit in us and through us and with us because we know God is love. We know that the world won't see us as the biggest and best in the community. We don't care, do we? Because that isn't what Jesus' standards were anyway. Those are social standards, human standards. But if people see a church that is meek and humble, that is loved and gives love out, that is cherished and shared with them, they may see God and know God is love. For if that happens, we will have lived into what Jesus taught, and we will have shown that we know God's grace and love. And here's a little secret. You see, what the world forgets is that lots of times you have to have failings and sufferings and make wrong choices before you get to that point where you show God so easily that you can't imagine why you couldn't before. Last week I was talking with my brother, John Vannon here, and he mentioned to me a saying that his grandmother told him, that the world tries to knock the stuffing out of us. So it's our way as Christians that we need to put a lot of stuffing in people because a lot will be taken out. Christ Church has gone through hard times, but we sit here as a loving community that shows love every single day through the projects that we do, through the love that we show here to each other, for the respect that we have for each other, even if we don't agree. Only those that cherish the Lord and truly keep his commandments will see the advocate to come to them, reside in them, and have peace while the world is in flux and wants to hit the stuffing right out of you. Now's the time to love as God loves. Whatever you decide, let us make sure that we come together and show that love, because we know it is from God. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, lift us up. Let us take a breath and feel your spirit within us. Let us be the best people we can be. Let us be the most loving people we can be. Let us be giving out what you have given to us. In your name, through your Holy Spirit, lead us now and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.